This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Forever!
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Literati, a podcast that... Well, how can I best explain it? I know. A podcast that expands your mind and demands that you find a dime in the ocean of time. But don't let the grind bind you to the direction of the sign that says go, go, go. But you can't say no, 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 because if you fall out of place, then you lose the race. And there is no grace set for the empty space. That will be where you stand when your time is up and your soul be damned.
Oh, wow. Hey, Michael, what the heck was all that?
What was what?
I mean, the way you were talking just now, it's different than the way you usually talk.
I don't think so. It's the way I always talk.
No. There was a rhythm and a cadence to your sentences. And it had like a, I don't know, like a flow to it. And the words you were using, they weren't normal. They were like flowery.
Flowery?
Like flowery. Like, if your words were things found in the natural world, I'd have to say they'd be flowers.
Okay, Colin, you got me. I have some bad news. Well, there's a reason I was talking the way I did, and
Michael,
you and the listening audience aren't going to like it.
Michael, don't say it. Please don't
say
it.
I'm sorry, Colin, but it's time to talk about poems.
No, I don't want to talk about poems, Michael. I hate them. I hate them so much.
Colin,
please,
Colin, get a hold of yourself. Come on. I hate poems too. We all do. But we have to discuss poetry today. It's required by the Department of Literary Podcasting that for every 399 hours of podcast content dedicated to real literature, 15 minutes must be dedicated to the ruse that is poetry. So... the sooner we get this over with, the sooner we can move on.
Okay. Yeah, okay, fine.
Thank you.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Sorry, everyone listening at home. This hurts us as much as it hurts you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we really apologize. If there's anything worse than poems, it's gotta be people talking about poems. So just bear with us and we'll get through all this, I promise.
Okay, here we go. So you're probably wondering what makes us qualified to talk to you about poetry. Well, Emily Dickinson is my celebrity crush.
And I was once trapped under a collection of Shakespeare sonnets for 2 weeks. I had to chew through my arm to get free. Unfortunately, when I was done, I realized I'd gnawed off the other arm. Had to start all over.
Now that you know we're qualified, let's start with what is a poem? Well, a poem is a piece of writing... but, like, barely.
It's kind of like talking, but then it's also kind of like singing, and it's definitely worse than both.
And poems are always metaphorical, which honestly makes me crazy.
Yeah, just say what you frickin' mean.
Just say what you frickin' mean. I mean, it makes me mad as a bear, and I mean that literally.
Poems are probably the shortest things that make me furious. Vines were a close second, but at least they went out of business.
I wish poems would go out of business.
Anyway, you're probably wondering, what does a poem even do?
Well, mainly poems are used to trick people into falling in love with you.
Poems tend to confuse the heart and disorient the mind. I tricked all my ex-wives into falling in love with me using poems.
And I used an E.E. Cummings poem to cajole my father into saying he loved me on his deathbed.
So where do all these awful poems come from? Who the hell writes all these stupid things? Well, the people who write them are called poets, and they're usually just losers trying to get laid.
Yeah, poets are mainly just horny losers in black turtlenecks who are not really good at anything else that people might find attractive qualities in a person. So they pretend to be writers so people will sleep with them.
Or they're people from the past who had emotions and thus were labeled insane and outcast from society. And we commiserate with that. But just write a frickin' story!
Yeah!
Instead, they scribble out a few lines of nonsense before they're all out of ideas.
I mean, you should see some of these poems, okay? I mean, the margins on some of these things are insane. And they're still not even close to a page long. It's a joke.
It's a joke! Also, when you're writing poetry, it's like some poems have a ton of rules, and some poems have practically no rules. I'm sorry, which is it?
Yeah, am I supposed to follow the rules or not? I mean, it's like damned if I do and damned if I don't.
And poems used to rhyme, but now these days they don't rhyme at all. They're just sentences.
The whole poetry genre is a freaking mess, if you ask me. And all you poets and poem enthusiasts need to get your shit sorted out.
Anyway, Colin and I each wrote a poem we'd like to read.
I guess I'll go first. Mine's just a dumb haiku. Here goes. Who will light our way? To what being shall we pray? Sundown, end of days.
Ugh.
I know. Oh, it's so dumb. And it accidentally came out sounding like a prayer.
Ugh.
It was just supposed to be a meditation on influence and hope as finite creatures living in an infinite world. It's so freaking lame. Ugh, why are they making us do this?
It just seems cruel. Anyway, here's mine. What beauty can I hope to bring into this world where everything meager, eager, small, or grand seems to be complete? Any awe oozing from the corner of my mouth is paint on the museum tiles, or pain, or something inconceivable concealed in a virgin's tongue. I'm still haunted by two ghosts of the same sweet girl, the mythic neighbor. One is burning and broken as the veil around the kiln. The other remains. There is nothing better. Tomorrow holds only shades and bowls of cherry stones.
Bad, right?
I did not like it. I hate the way it made me feel. Whew! Well, that's all over with, thank God.
Oh my goodness. And luckily we won't have to do another segment on poems for another 399 hours.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Well, enough of that unpleasantness. Fortunately, we are going to one of our favorite sections of the podcast, our guest reader. And today we have quite a treat. We are so excited. Our special guest is a novelist who you probably know, who is making their foray into young adult novels with their newly published work, My Summer on the Island.
Everyone, please enjoy a reading from Aunt Beth.
Hello, yes, my name is Aunt Beth. I am a fiction writer. I write mostly novels for and about single white women in their 40s who travel. But, you know, my publisher wanted me to get into young adult fiction. She said that's a lot of money there. At first I said no because I don't get along with anyone under the age of 39. That's just my truth. But then I remembered, you know what, I was a young person once. And I bet I could be relatable to no fewer than one teen. As you know, the title of my first novel was The Woman Who Ran Out of Time to Have Kids, but you know what, she never wanted them anyway. So this is an excerpt from my young adult fiction novel entitled My Summer on the Island. Long Island is actually quite peaceful, 11-year-old Ciara thought as she brushed her flaxen natural curls that she vowed to never heat style. I can get up at 6 a.m., make a strong cup of coffee from good beans, have a cigarette, take a walk on the beach in my Eileen Fisher organic cotton long cardigan, and come back to watch the Today Show, all without seeing anyone from school. You don't get that in the city. It was the perfect summer getaway for me to focus on writing my one-act play. Shit, my one-act play. I'd been putting off writing it. It's for the Hampton Falls Long Island Young Playwrights Festival. And when is the deadline? Oh, yeah. This weekend. And it's already Thursday. Crap-ola. I gotta get to work. But I had writer's block. Imagine this. A warm glass of white wine filled with particles of sand. You really want to drink it as an 11-year-old, but there's no way it would be good. That's a perfect metaphor for the kind of writer's block I'm experiencing. You know what? Maybe I'll just pop my head out of my picture window just for a little break and have one tiny cigarette. Listen, I'm 11. I don't smoke often, and yes, I had one this morning. I know it's not a glamorous vice, but every now and then I like to sneak one itty-bitty cigarette. Then I heard a voice. Ciara? Ciara! Have you finished the denouement on your one act? It was my father. He was yelling at me from the bottom of the stairs to my lofted bedroom. Lofted bedroom. Yeah, it sounds cool, but it's really the only type of modern home in Long Island that's affordable anymore. You know, I'd like to scream back, "No, Dad, of course I haven't finished my denouement yet. I haven't even spit out my exposition." But how could you understand? You're perfect. You're David Mamet. He's so out of his mind, probably from all the cigarettes. Oh, my God, the cigarettes. I wonder, do I even have any matches? The FBI confiscated all my lighters last week after they raided my locker unfairly for evidence in the high school arson case. Ugh, like I would light Mrs. Stilp's reflection room on fire. Okay, yeah, she was the bad religion teacher, but I don't have time for that type of crime. You know what, whatever. I put the cigarette in my mouth. And then, wait, I hear my father in the stairwell. But if he saw me smoking, he would just shrug and say, "Who cares? How's the one act looking?" I'm not a playwright, Father. I don't want to follow in your footsteps, okay? I could be anything. I could be a travel agent, or a white wine taste tester, or a manager of the Cancun Sandals Resort. It's the nice sandals. I guess, deep down, I'm writing this play because I want to impress my father. And also, deep down, I guess I'm avoiding writing this play because I'm scared of my own wild success. But you know what I'm not scared of? This cigarette. I'm lighting up, baby. Thank you so much.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Wow. Absolutely amazing.
That was fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much, Aunt Beth, for joining us.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want to get the pronunciation correct on your name. Is it Aunt Beth or Aunt Beth?
Well, you know, it is Aunt. It's spelled like aunt, but I pronounce it like aunt, gotcha. So as to be approachable.
Great. Oh, I understand.
Yes,
and that's
course.
Your first name?
Yes, correct.
Do you have a middle name?
Yes, Beth.
Aunt Beth Beth.
Yes, correct.
That's beautiful. Lovely.
Thank you.
And do Family you have name. Any nieces or nephews?
Yes, I have quite a few, actually.
And what do they call you?
They call me Aunt Beth Beth.
Yes, well, I'm sure they're lucky to have somebody like you as a role model and a person who can read them stories around bedtime, especially now that you're branching out into the younger fiction.
That's what I thank you so much. I agree with that. I don't like to read to kids, but I could get into that if there's money.
Well, we do have to say that this podcast is mainly a literature podcast for children, so we will be having to bleep out crapola.
Yeah, that one's not going to... Also, biddy, itty bitty.
Itty bitty.
Itty bitty just sounds too much like titty.
We didn't realize you were going to be swearing. That's our fault for not making that clear.
Shit, I'm so sorry.
That was okay, right?
It's fucking okay. We're all trying to figure this thing out.
Yeah, let's all just fucking relax, all right?
And to be fair, we've only just recently decided to be a podcast for children after hearing that it might be profitable.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It is really profitable. You know those Twilinger books?
I know the Twilingers.
Oh, the Twilingers. So, yeah.
At Twilinger comes the Vampingers.
They made a lot of fucking money, and that's what we're hoping our podcast can do too.
So, they're religious. I want to hear about your transition from the earlier works and what that was like and who you were to the stuff that you're writing now, and if you think you're going to keep going down this YA path, or if you're saying why I ought to go back to what I used to do.
Oh, you're very funny. Are you flirting with me?
Only sexually.
I'm perpetually single, though. Oh. That's kind of my thing. You know, my earlier works are ever since I was 16, I was writing like a 40-something woman. Okay. You know, and now that I'm finally into my own, you know, as a 40-something woman, I'm feeling it's not enough. It's not enough. And, you know, my publisher came to me and they said they wanted me to branch out to young children. And I thought, you know what? One day I was a young child once. Go ahead.
This sounds very difficult. So when you were you were a child, you felt like an old soul.
Yes, I did.
And now that you're older, your publisher's asking you to write as if you are a young person. Feel like you can be yourself?
Yes, 100%. Because really, at the end of the day, my philosophy is single, bingle, never be a tingle.
And what does that mean?
Yes, well, it means if you're always single, you'll never have a tingle in your heart for anything that's too hard.
I've seen this on there's a very famous poster with that phrase. It's a kitten that is mauling a pigeon.
Yes, and then the pigeon is hanging from the fence.
Yep, and a little speech bubble coming out of the pigeon's mouth that says, "Good God, please don't kill me.
Please don't."
And then the cat saying, "Tingle, dingle, let's never mingle.
Single, mingle, never have a tingle."
Yeah.
I don't think that means we can't mess around.
Oh, no, absolutely. Would love to have one night stands, a couple night stands.
You're just saying you're not looking for anything serious?
I'm not looking for anything serious.
Good. My wife would hate that.
Oh, wonderful.
Should I be here for this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just do the thing you normally do. Look, you know, up, straight up.
Great.
Just look straight up.
Okay.
Oh, that is even better for me because that kind of gives me an out-of-body experience, which is what I like. When somebody else is in the room.
Yes.
For Steph.
I usually am around and I just get people waters and stuff when they need.
That's really nice of you.
And
that's really nice of you.
I try to have an inner body experience.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I mean?
Good. Oh. Yeah, so back to your first question.
Sure.
My experience as a writer for women who travel, I think it's important because women need to read on the beach. Mm. And a lot of women don't have children. So they have to read about what? Themselves. Mm-hmm. They have to read about loving and praying and eating. But then also they have to read about running and being and drinking.
Cigarettes.
I love cigarettes.
Their kids.
Yeah.
Their books are their kids.
I think people actually, thank you for bringing it, their books are their kids. Correct.
I would even say that their books are sort of like the children they never had.
Yes, I love that. Mm. I love that. Oh my God, that's beautiful. But actually, I want to go back to the cigarettes because cigarettes do, it's so funny. Cigarettes play a theme throughout all of my work because, you know, they're not in fashion anymore, right? Would you say they are?
No, I'd say vaping is in fashion. Yeah.
I don't, that's too cool. I think cigarettes to me are approachable, right? You see somebody smoking a cigarette, you're like, they're sad. And if you see a sad person, you want to think, I'll go talk to them.
Yeah, help them
out. To make them feel better. Yeah. So I always think putting cigarettes in my stories makes my characters seem sad but approachable. And also me personally, I smoke.
That actually gives me...
We can light up at any time, too.
Oh, perfect.
We always keep a pack of cigarettes right in the middle of the table, so just feel
unwrapped,
free
to open. I do see that.
Feel free to grab one.
Unfiltered.
Yeah.
That actually gives me an idea for a book. I guess the book would be Tim? The man who smokes cigarettes.
Oh, my God.
Every single day.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Really good.
Do you mind if I know this is kind of from your work, but since it sparked the idea in the room, you didn't mind if I like kind of use that at some point, do you?
I I actually don't mind that because I don't write books about men.
Yeah, well.
So.
I'm not going to say that you're ignoring half the population, but...
they're in there, but they're not a big part.
Well, do you find that you have a male audience, even though your books aren't about men?
Mm-mm.
Oh. Just two, you've kind of gotten narrow and specific. You know, you remind me of like a Nancy Myers.
Thank you.
Where there's just this sort of elegance and class. It's a woman of a certain age, a lot of, I'd say, linen.
Yes.
A lot of linen,
I love
a lot
linen,
of white wine.
A lot of white
vistas
wine.
Vistas on the beach.
Cardigans. The thing about that is that all those women have children. And they don't forget that there's a lot of population. They don't want children. They want to be single. They want to be the aunt, the crazy aunt. Except they're not crazy. That's the thing. They
Society's
aren't given,
crazy.
Society is crazy. They're not given a correct voice. So I'm giving them a voice.
That's fantastic. And I want to... brings us to your earlier work.
Yes.
What was it again? The woman who ran out of time to have kids, but never wanted to have them anyway.
Yeah, but you know what? She never wanted them anyway. Yes, I wrote that when I was 21.
That's fantastic.
Wow. Most people at 21 are, you know, not finishing novels, let alone contemplating what it's like to run out of time to have kids. So how do you get into that headspace? Are you an old soul?
Yes, I'm an old soul. I just knew that one day when I was 47, I would be looking at, I'd be watching a movie on Netflix, and it's with like Catherine Hahn, and she's talking about like doing like an egg donation thing or something, or like, and I'd be like crying because I'd be like, I ran out of time. I could just feel that when I was 21. What?
But then you realize the crying wasn't
it wasn't
about
who
that
I was
because you never wanted to have them. The character never
the
wanted to have them.
The thing is, exactly, if the only reason you want to have kids is that you think you might regret it later, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
But that's not why I didn't never wanted any.
Yeah. It's not an iPhone.
I wanted to be free.
It's not an iPhone. It's not a
You're
trend
correct.
To jump on.
You can't put them in a cage.
Yeah.
That's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Do you want to know why I want to have kids?
Why?
Something to do.
That's a good reason.
Your days are pretty wide open. You don't have a lot going on.
Well, I inherited a lot of money recently.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you so much.
A death?
Yeah, well, I faked my own death, and I got a lot of money from it. I ran in front of a Nestle truck.
Okay.
And I was crushed to death by semi-sweet morsels, or so they think.
Okay, so then how does the money go back to you?
I siphon the money through my twin brother.
Excellent.
Now, does this twin brother actually exist?
I can't answer that.
Okay.
Seems...
I wish I could tell you.
Oh, what's that voice?
This is how he talks.
Okay.
So now when Nestle gets a phone call from your twin brother.
Hello, Nestle. There's a corpse in the middle of Interstate I-95 covered in semi-sweet bitter chocolates, and it's my brother's corpse.
Your twin brother discovered.
He was, okay, so I was supposed to be going his birthday party, which was at Papa John's.
Papa John, I love that store.
Only place that lets you do adult pizza party birthdays. And so this is
favorite
the story.
Pizza store.
He waited 3 hours. And of course, it was also my birthday because we're identical twins. And when I didn't show up for 3 hours, he said, hey, something's fishy here.
Oh.
And this is good because when you're telling
Airtight.
A lie, you want to have lots of tangents you can go on
I
and
get
lots
confused
of details
all.
You can
I get
never...
confused all the time. Yeah. Well, don't get me started on my two twin sisters.
What?
So you're not.
I'm only here for a second. Tina.
They're separate
twins.
And don't
forget twins, about
me. Or they were born at the same time as you and your twin brother.
We're same time. Different mom.
So you know what? This is why I wouldn't want to have kids, because I could never tell them apart.
Yeah, this just seems like too much, right?
It's many... who can remember? I can hardly remember my own birthday. I got to remember a child.
When is your birthday?
26th of?
25th, 6th?
November.
Okay.
Wow.
It usually actually falls directly on Thanksgiving.
Every year.
Every year.
That's beautiful.
It's
what a good time to be with family.
Yeah. No.
Oh.
Yeah, I like to be alone.
Well, I had read somewhere, so you said 25th, 6th.
It falters.
I had read that it was a very long...
You read?
Yeah, I learned how to recently, and
congrats.
I can't get enough of this stuff. But I read that you had a very... It was an interesting birth, that you were like sort of like... you kind of got stuck halfway, so it was like over 24-hour period where, like, half of your body was outside of your mother. So technically that was your birthday.
Yeah, you read that article on the Daily Dot?
Yep.
Yes, I don't like to talk
about it. I read it in Comedy Cake.
Big shout out to our sponsor.
I tried to get my mom to I tried to get my mom to put that article in Jezebin, but couldn't get it in. Anyway, I don't like to talk about it a lot, but I'll talk about it because it was painful for me. I can remember my birth.
Painful for your mom too, I bet.
Mm.
No?
It's about me. You know, it's my birth. So I came out of my mom and I was breathing. I was breathing the air, but I was cold.
Mm-hmm. Your legs were cold?
No, my legs, because the legs were in, because you come out head first.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So the legs were.
Legs were warm because they were inside the vagina. My head was outside. Yeah. And
chilly.
So my head was cold.
You got to wrap that with a scarf.
And they did. And that's why I've worn scarves my entire life.
And it's a beautiful one you have on.
Thank
now.
You. It's a silk. It's from Paris.
Covered in constellations.
Exactly. A pink silk with a purple constellations. But it's classy.
Now, I want to talk about. There was a very interesting, the character of the father in your story was David Mamet.
David Mamet.
And rings a bell.
Do you know a lot of 11-year-olds who have playwrights as fathers who are, I don't know if this was your experience, but the pressures to write a one-act play? Because I know it rang true with me because my father is Samuel Beckett. So,
yes. Actually, that's really a great question. I'd like to think my father is William Shakespeare. It's not, because that would be two
timelines off.
Insane.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to know who my dad is?
Of course, we want to know who your dad is.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Is he related to Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Uh huh.
Oh, it's exciting.
It's his uncle.
So, does he also do Broadway musicals?
Nope.
I like how they're related, but. Their names are slightly different.
Slightly different.
But like close
at
enough.
The end, yeah. He does the props for Stump. And it's a tough job. Because
he's
run through.
He's a Stump prop guy?
Mm-hmm. He's a prop master, actually. But, I speak true to the form.
Yes. I don't know if that's true.
Prop master.
He's a minor. So I don't know about that. So Aunt Beth.
Yes.
I wanted to follow up on that. Okay. David Mamet.
David Mamet.
As a character, what's it like to write for such an amazing author?
To write for David Mamet.
Yeah, that must be intimidating to write for David Mamet.
It's really not intimidating because, you know, for me, I grew up with his plays. Ophelia.
Name three or four of them.
Ophelia. And the other couple.
Checks out.
Yes. And the way that he writes is, as you all know, it's colloquial. Mm-hmm. So say something.
Hey,
oh,
you.
Oh, no. Oh. Could we?
I was gonna.
No, we were gonna
start from
an end scene. That's a David Mamet scene.
Wow.
So, I think it's really beautiful and really speaks to the heart of what I would like my writing to be. Except mine has better words.
Can Colin and I try?
So yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you tell us when to start.
Okay, and lights up.
Hey, you.
What?
What do you get off of my lawn?
This is my half of the lawn, and you stay on your half. We split this lawn down the middle.
Coming over to my place.
I told you, you get half of my lawn, I get half of your lawn.
We're in the pharmacy.
Blackout. Good. Good. That was actually really good.
And that was David Mamet?
That was David Mamet, yes.
I think I get it.
So I actually wanted to circle back. You get it.
Yeah.
So the thing is that I love David Mamet, but I'm not intimidated because I'm better, so.
That actually gives me an idea for a book about a little kid named... Mm-hmm. Tim, whose dad is Rick Ross.
Do you
mind if I use that?
I don't mind.
It's sort of inspired by yours.
Does Tim also, I love to have inspiration, you know, does Tim also smoke cigarettes?
One a day.
Huh. But this is a different book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need as many books as possible because I'm kind of living book check to book check.
Yeah.
That's good for you, though.
I get one paycheck per book.
And I'm also trying to write a lot of books because I have like three big bookshelves, but none of the books that I read, I don't like them.
You don't
so
like
I don't want to put them on there. So I'm just trying to fill them.
You're trying to fill up those
books. I'm
trying to
fill them with stuff I write. Yeah, stuff I
stuff
like.
You like.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I like to put CDs on bookshelves.
Oh, I should just put CDs on my bookshelf.
Do you guys like Blind Melon?
I love one song by Blind Melon.
Yeah.
And kind of one other song by Blind Melon.
What's the kind of one?
I think it's called Galaxy.
Yeah.
And it
that's
was
the only one I like.
Oh, yeah. That's the only one, yeah. You like?
Yeah. You know who I love? What? 3LW. Players, they gon' play. And haters, they gonna hate. Ballers, they gonna ball.
We don't have the rights to this, so
I'm sorry. Really, we'll cut that.
Okay. So yeah. I had a question.
When this goes out, it's just gonna be one long beep where you were singing.
I'm sorry.
Aunt Beth.
Yes, Beth.
You so captured.
Good. Thank you.
The nature and the tone of what a teenager or even younger, an 11-year-old, yes, feels. And it was just
this coffee,
world.
The Today Show, the cigarettes, yes, the wine.
Yeah, people, there was just so many details. How do you get into even the name Sierra? Definitely a, yes, name that an 11-year-old. Sure. Yeah, that just speaks to me and my, yeah, inadequacies. I only hang out with people older than me, yes, as a rule.
Yes.
How do you get into that? You know, how do you pull all those details?
That headspace. Yeah. To be an 11-year-old.
Thank
and
you.
And to capture that experience so perfectly.
Thank
and to
you.
Really get into that headspace and to get those details of being an 11-year-old.
And
how do you do
just
that?
Just get into the headspace.
To get into the headspace, yeah.
And then furthermore, just to finish my question, how do you really just like transport yourself into the space of Ciara's head?
If I could get this right, are you asking me how do I get into, well, the headspace?
Oh,
of
that's
an
a much better way of putting it, actually. No, that's, yeah,
Ciara,
sure. I think that was the essence of what Michael's question was.
Yeah, that was the
was.
Gist of it.
Good,
yeah,
question. Well, you know, it's actually pretty easy for me because I have a yacht. So, and that's...
Kids love those things.
Yes, kids, that's what it is. The kids love yachts. I care for it. So sometimes I don't even need to be on it. I could be polishing it. And then that to me is very, it reminds me of being a child because, yeah, my dad would say, go to polish the yacht. Yeah. He did work at the Pizza Hut, but we had a yacht. It was family money. You know.
Well, you worked at the Pizza Yacht.
Very good.
Slices on the Sea.
Slices on the Sea. That's delightful. I'm going to write that down for my next YA novel, Slices in the Sea. Anyway, so I polished my yacht and I just
that
remember.
That actually gives me an idea for a book.
Interesting. What is it?
Tim. It's about a guy named Tim.
Oh.
And he.
I just feel like.
It's called The Young Man and the Pizza. And he takes this.
And he's looking for like the biggest slice. He hasn't
found
a big
to
slice
sea.
In a while.
He's going
Do you
for
think
a
we
big slice.
Collaborate, perhaps? Because I write girls and you write boys.
Wait, are you suggesting a book where there's a boy and a girl in it?
Yeah, you know what? I want to go back to my headspace, the yacht.
Oh, yeah.
And then I put a lollipop in my mouth, and then I spit it out because I remember I don't eat sugar because I'm 40, you know? And then I just create.
Wow.
And by create, I mean I speak aloud my thoughts and to my Alexa, and she records them, and she can read them back.
Alexa's the name of your servant?
Yes, correct.
Huh. I love hearing about process. And to answer your question, yes, I would like to collaborate on The Young Man and the Pizza Slice.
Okay. Can we get that written on paperwork?
Yes, I can do it. Let me just run and get paper and a quill pen.
Thank you, Alexa.
No problem. So fun to work for you.
I pay her.
I slipped.
No, I don't care. I don't.
Ow!
Okay.
I think I broke my leg. Someone put Jell-O on the stairs. Oh, I'm okay.
She's a really kooky girl.
I like her.
Yeah, she's cool. Kooky.
So, Ciara is trying so hard to impress her daddy.
Correct.
Is that something that you struggle with?
Because it can be just so hard to impress a daddy sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially, daddies have such high standards and they're so hard to impress.
Especially when you're young and it's hard to get daddy's attention.
Yes, well... My daddy was always proud of me, no matter what I did, relentlessly proud to the extent where I didn't like it. You know those parents where they're so proud of you and they just support you at every turn and you're really lucky and blessed? And so I acted out by writing novels because, you know, he didn't really think...
He was more of a pizza guy.
Yeah, well,
he wanted me to do
anything, and I think that was what the thing was, is that I was bad at writing, so I thought, well, I'll just do the thing that I'm bad at, but then that's how I became good.
Oh, that makes sense.
If you think about it like that.
I wish I had that experience.
What was your daddy like?
He was always working.
At the
Nestle factory.
Nestle?
He invented chocolate chips.
So,
and
wait.
You know what? This is just ringing a bell. I forget. Now I'm realizing, like, the timeline was kind of similar. Didn't your, like, dad, like, like have to pay a lot for a lawsuit, like around the same time that you got hit.
It's just so hard to get his attention. And sometimes it's like you'll do anything to just sort of like, I don't know, make a headline or shake things up. Or
your dad, you're like, not you, you came into great wealth, but like your dad, like
seeing your dad cry at your own funeral. What would be cooler than that?
Okay. I have a couple things. I think reading one of my new novels, that would be pretty cool. Having a glass of white wine in the Cancun sandals. I know I mentioned that in my excerpt, but it actually is really the good sandals because they don't let kids in.
Yes, that's key to a vacation.
Yes.
No, I have a question.
I'm ready for it.
And Beth. Do you have any advice to young kids listening who may want to grow up and take your place?
You know, that question did take a turn for me because I had advice. I always had advice.
You thought the question was going to end halfway through.
It'd be a normal question.
Yes, because I do have any advice. And yeah. I do. I would say yes.
Of course.
But you know what? I do have advice for kids who want to grow up and take my place. I would say get into cardigans earlier, you know? And I think also understand that red wine is not going to work for you. It's just not, girlfriend, you know?
You don't want to walk around with
white wine will?
White wine will, and that will help you write. And also, you know, they say, they have that saying, write drunk and edit even drunker. And I think you can push it.
Yeah. Write drunk, edit blackout.
Yes, correct.
And I just want to say, it's true, get into cardigans earlier. And Alex, did we lock down the sponsorship by Cardigans Select?
He's saying yes.
Yes, so we just want to say cardigans, the sweater that goes almost all the way.
Bing, bing, bing.
And I just want to say that the write drunk, edit blackout. Blacking out is kind of a way of editing your own thoughts. So very, very smart to do.
Yes, you got to kill your darlings and you got to kill your brain cells. Aunt Beth, we're almost at the end of our time here and we just had a couple rapid fire questions.
Great. Oklahoma. Favorite? Oh, sorry.
What were you going to say?
I'm from Oklahoma.
That's not, don't care.
Okay.
What's your favorite font?
Purple.
And what famous author is probably an asshole?
Marty McFly.
The character from Back to the Future.
Yes.
He's already stealing. I know this is supposed to be rapid fire, but he's already stealing like Chuck Berry's songs. He's probably a plagiarist or something.
But also, second follow up would be Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Paperback, hardcover, Kindle, or drinking until you fall asleep?
Drinking, obviously. That's insane.
Hottest letter?
Purple.
All of the letters in purple?
Yes.
All right.
If you weren't a famous author, who would you be?
A knight in shining armor. To myself.
What's the last book you read?
Mary Poppins, and it was the script for the musical.
Well, Aunt Beth.
Is that it?
That's it.
I don't want to say that.
You don't want us to say that? You're not ready for it to end? Well, neither are we. We wish this could go on and on.
Be.
One final question.
Yeah. Okay, thank God.
I know you said you don't write about boys or men.
Mm-mm.
Would you ever consider writing a book about us?
You too?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's all I needed to
do. But you would have to be clowns, and you would have to be actually dogs. Dog clowns.
Clowns.
So it's your spirits inside the dog clowns. So
I think you had it at us. Yes, you would write a book about us, and then you lost me with everything else.
And then
else
you would have to be in Spain, somewhere fun and a place I want to visit. So
that actually gives me an idea for a book. So
no?
The dog clown thing actually gave me an idea for a book.
Yeah.
What about two really handsome body models?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Bodybuilder
walking
models
down the runway.
Oh.
And it's about us in Spain.
And maybe one boy is named Tim?
I'd read the shit out of that
book.
And it's called Tim, the boy who grew up to be two body models. Aunt Beth, thank you so much for joining us.
It has been a real pleasure.
And can you just really quickly let us know the sneak peek of the title of the next book you're going to write?
Yes, it's going to be Wine All the Time. If you gotta be fine, it's Mr. Wine Time, Mamma Mia.
A book about a woman.
A lot more rhymes in that title than the other ones. I love
well,
it.
Well, yeah, that's because it's also a YA novel, so you have to kind of
you got
to
keep
rhyme.
Their keep it fun it's for so the kids. Hard to keep their attention, and you got to do it. They like music, and it's almost correct. Rhyming is almost music.
Correct.
It's fantastic.
I'm the writer, so.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.